found your place, and if you're able, I want you to stand and honor the reading of the Word of God tonight, Acts chapter number 9. You know, back in chapter number 7, you see Stephen preaching the Word of God. When Stephen was preaching, and they went out and stoned Stephen for preaching the Word of God, they laid their coats down at the feet of a young man by the name of Saul. Saul of Tarsus partook in that and was witness to and a party to the martyrdom of Stephen. And you see him a couple of chapters later, he's still breathing out threatenings against the church. The Lord told the church, when you receive power, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And the church for a long time just hung around at Jerusalem. And God knew how to get them to disperse. He allowed Saul of Tarsus to begin to persecute the church. And when he did, back in chapter number 8, the church was dispersed and literally went all over the world. And when you see chapter number 9 unfold, the Word of God said, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?' And he said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?'" And you know the rest of the story tonight. Saul became Paul and one of the greatest Christians, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived apart from the Lord Jesus. And Saul, who became Paul, authored 14 of the books of the New Testament Scripture. But tonight, if God will be my helper, somebody really needs to hear this. And you need to listen intently. But I want to talk to you on the subject of an intersection in the road to Damascus. There's some things that I want you to see and understand about this tonight. I said an intersection in the road to Damascus. An intersection is a place where two or more roads cross one another. And the Word of God says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. The Scripture teaches that there are two ways. There's a broad and a beaten way, and there's a straight and a narrow way. But for every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, at some point in your life, God will make a junction and a place where you can get off that broad beaten path and you can get on the straight and narrow way. What that is to say tonight is God gives His offer of grace, His offer of salvation to whosoever will. And there is a time and there is a place in every life where God offers salvation to me. There's some words I'll use tonight by way of alliteration, and the first one is it was a providential intersection. The word providence means care and preparation in advance. It means foresight. It literally means God has a plan for every soul that's been saved. God didn't just haphazardly do that. He didn't just wake up one morning and decide, "I'm going to do this." God's a holy God, and in His providence, God made a plan for saving souls. Every man, every woman, every new convert in this building that's just been saved in the last few months, God throughout the eternity past had a plan for how He was going to save you. He had a plan for how He was going to bring you to the place where you could be saved. Acts chapter number 7 and verse number 17, the seed of the Word of God was planted by Stephen. As Stephen stood up and preached, he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." And it so cut the hearts of men and women who heard him preach that they literally stuck their fingers in their ears and said, "We don't want to hear that message." They picked up rocks and they took Stephen out and they stoned him unto death. And Stephen did not see the fruit of what took place that day. But thank God, God had a plan that somewhere over in the shadows stood a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, one of the greatest Bible preachers that's ever lived, got the seed of the Word of God planted in his heart that day. Listen, church, you might not see the fruit right away. Hey, you may pray and seek God, and you say, "God, boy, I want to see my family get saved. God, I want my husband or my wife or my daddy or my mama to get saved." And if you're not careful, you'll get discouraged, you'll get beat down, and you'll get weary and well-doing when you don't see it happen when you want to see it happen. But Stephen didn't get to see the fruit. But the seed stuck, buddy. It got in the heart of Saul of Tarsus. God began to work that. Now think about how God's got a great big plan. And boy, didn't Brother Sam Ellis bless your heart last Wednesday night as God spoke to him in the service, and he raised his hand up, stood up, and said, "I got something I want to say." And he told about how on Monday morning down under the hill over here in his little old house, gingerbread house beside the road, God, the Holy Ghost, come and invaded his space about 1 o'clock in the morning, kept him up till about 4 in the morning, and saved him by his grace. God had a plan for what he was going to do. And if we'll learn to believe him and trust him, God's big enough to reach down and put the bloodhounds of heaven on somebody's trail. And when God ever sets his sights on somebody, they ain't going to slip away. Well, you don't have to worry about that. There's providence in God. God's got a plan for that intersection. But not only was it a providential intersection, it was a personal intersection. When you get over to chapter 9 and verse number 7, the Word of God said, "The men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man." If you read this account in other scriptures, those men stood there and they heard the voice of Jesus Christ, but they did not recognize it as being an audible voice. They heard it as if it were thunder. But that doesn't make any difference about what they heard or what they saw. What made a difference was what Saul heard that day. And God was speaking to his heart, and God got a hold of Saul on that road. But it was a personal intersection. You see, the Lord Jesus revealed himself to Saul. And he said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Now I want you to picture this in your mind ever since Stephen preached that message. Here Saul is, he's just outside the city of Damascus, probably about a week's journey from Jerusalem. For a week at least, Saul's been walking up the road to Damascus, and in his heart, he's been a mulling this thing over about what the preacher said. God got to bothering him. He said, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." What is that? That's that prick of old time conviction. I mean, God didn't just say boo and scare the devil out of it. God just got to tenderly touching him and pricking him a little bit, and it was bothering him. Every individual that I've talked to that's been born again of the Spirit of God in this place in the last year, they say, "Brother Mike, God had been bothering me for a while." You know what God is doing? He's a pricking hearts. There's some of you sitting here right now, God's pricked your heart. And you begin to get worried and you begin to get bothered, and it's caused you to stop and think and to take a toll and to try to figure out, am I really saved or am I not saved? You see, God's got a way of just tenderly, with compassion, pricking your heart a little bit. Not try to scare you plumb to death, but just get you to wondering and thinking about that thing and checking out and see if it's really real what you got. Now Stephen's preached and Paul's getting under a little bit of conviction. And he's been on this week's journey, and the Word of God said, suddenly there shined about him a light from heaven. God turned the light on. And the Word of God says when God turned the light on, Saul was paralyzed. He literally fell down. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" I'm going to tell you what, there's been some folks that got saved in the last year in here, and you told me out of your own mouth, you said, "Brother Mike, when God started dealing with me, I literally thought I was going to pass out." Ain't that right, Brother Robert? There's folks sitting in this building. And when God turns that light on, buddy, I mean, up until this point for a week, he's been walking up the road, and God's just give him a little glimmer. A little bit of glitter, just a little bit of a prick here and there. And all of a sudden, he comes into the light of the glorious Son of God. Buddy, what do you do when you get in the presence of God? I tell you what, it'll make a man's knees get like rubber. And you stand before God. And it was such a personal thing that he dealt with him in this way. Those other men knew there was something going on, but they didn't know what was going on. Did you know tonight, don't let this confuse you, but even lost people know when the Holy Ghost comes around. Hey, Saul, the king Saul, had evil spirits that got on him. And when he had those evil spirits on him, he called for David to come play on his harp. And when David, full of God, David, that anointed man of God, come and begin to play his harp, them demons would have to get off of Saul, and Saul would feel the relief of not having them devils on him. I was preaching in a prison revival in the West Virginia State Penitentiary at Moundsville a few years ago, and God was moving up there, and the Satanists was mad, and they was trying to bother me in that meeting. And I remember there was this one old boy, he was just a redneck country boy, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "don't you worry about them, we got a plan for them, I'm going to fix them." I thought, praise God, this probably ain't of the Lord, but go ahead, buddy, I'm glad you're here. And we got in service that night, and this old boy, he's not a bit more saved than the man on the moon. A man full of demons. He wasn't there for staying up too late studying his Sunday school lesson. This old boy come into service, and God showed up that night, and I watched that boy full of demons sitting there in that chair. And God, the Holy Ghost got to fluttering around that room, and that boy started weeping tears, and there was a joy come across his face, and he didn't know what was going on. He wasn't saved. He wasn't born of the Spirit of God, but the Holy Ghost drove those demons off of him long enough to let him know there's something real about what was going on. I'm telling you, God knows how to let a lost man know when he's in the room. That don't mean you're saved just because you know when God's around. There's a whole lot of folks that I believe is really saved. They ain't got enough discernment to blow their nose. But I believe when God really gets around, even lost folks will be able to rejoice sometimes. Just because they get some relief. They get that pressure off of them, and God's helping them. And it was a personal intersection. I'm going to ask you a question tonight. How personal is Jesus to you? I mean, how personal is He really to you? I mean, I know I'm not stupid. I look stupid, but I'm not nearly as dumb as I look. There's folks that walk out of this building tonight, and you ain't going to think about God till Sunday morning. But I wonder how personal He is to you. How much do you need Him, and how much do you want Him, and how much do you desire Him? I've been busy the last 2 or 3 days and had a lot going on. And Miss Lori, the other morning, she got up, she got ready to go to town. She said, "Honey, you going with me?" And I said, "No." And she looked at me sort of strange, and I don't usually let her go off by herself. I didn't marry her so I could stay home by myself. She went on to town. What she didn't know, there was a yearning in my heart that all I wanted was to be by myself so I could talk to my sweetheart, my Savior, the one that loved me and cared for me when I was unlovable, when I didn't have anything desirable. He came to me and loved me, and I wanted to just be there so I could be quiet and hear from God. Now bless His name. When He came to me, it was personal, and He gave me a personal relationship. Tonight, it's personal between me and Him. Hey, I can worship with you folks in here. Praise God, I love it. But buddy, it don't end when I go to the house. Boy, I know Him when I lay down. There's been some nights God come to me in my bed at night, woke me up. I'd lay there and weep, and the bed would get to shaking, Brother Wesley. And I'd have to get out of the bed because I was quivering, because I was meeting with my Savior, and I didn't want to mess up my wife's sleep. God wake me up in the middle of the night. Hey, has God ever come by and just meet with you? I mean, just bless your soul and give you something to feed you and get you through the day? It's personal, buddy. I don't know how somebody could have a personal relationship like that and not know whether or not they're saved. That's a mystery to me, buddy. It was personal intersection. But I'll give you this. Well, I'm going to be through in a minute. It was a painful intersection. Verse number 4 and 5, the Word of God says, "Saul fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And every time that Saul was hurting them little Christians, he wasn't just hurting them, he was hurting the Lord Jesus. That ought to let us know Jesus takes it personal when folks hurt His little young'uns. And when He said that to Saul, there's no doubt that Saul at this point could have swallowed a cow. Me? Persecute you? It was a painful intersection. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" What an unusual statement to make, Miss Drusilla. Who art thou, Lord? He knew who it was, but he didn't know him. Hey, there's a lot of people. If they walked in the door tonight, I know who they are. Praise God. Sis, I knew when you come in the door tonight, I knew who you was. But I don't know you. I can't call your name right now if you held a gun to my head. And Saul realized who it was. But he realized, I don't know him. And there's a lot of folks tonight, they know who God is, but they don't know God. And it breaks my heart, and I'm not fussing at you, and I'm not mad at you, but I'm trying my best to tell you tonight, He is a personal, tender, loving God. And you say, "Brother Mike, I've tried that religion stuff, and it just didn't work for me." You ain't never humbled your heart before God. You ain't never trusted Him, because it's such a personal thing. And it's such a wonderful and a lovely thing when the Lord Jesus comes to be your friend. But it was a painful thing for Saul to realize that Philippians chapter 3 verse 5, Paul gave this account of himself. If there was any man in the Scriptures, any two men, I would say number one would be Saul or Paul, and number two would be Nicodemus. But if there was any man in the Scriptures that could have went to heaven without having to go through the new birth, it would have been Paul. The Word of God said in Philippians 3, 5, he was circumcised the eighth day. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness which is in the law, the Word of God said blameless. That means Saul was above reproach. And for God to say, "You've been persecuting me," it was a painful thing for this good man to say, "As good as I've been." And all Saul could do was fall down before Christ and say, "Guilty." But I tell you what, he didn't realize this yet. But Luke chapter 19, verse number 10 said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." I hear all these folks, they want to cry around and waller around and whine around and say, "Lord, if I'm lost, please save me." You ain't getting nowhere like that. Because he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And until a man gets good and lost, until a woman gets good and lost, I'm talking about to that place where you don't care who's looking, you don't care what's going on around you, you are in a bubble. Saul didn't care what them men thought that he was walking with. He didn't give a good glory rip what they thought about nothing. Saul was in trouble and he knew it. God shined a light on him. Miss Amanda, when you get to that place, it don't matter who's looking. When God says, "This is your day, buddy." I mean, up until this point, he's just pricked him. Now God turned the light on him. He said, "Okay, buddy, big boy, this is your day. What are you going to do with it?" And I've seen man after man and woman after woman, even in this building. God dealt with you and God quit pricking your heart and He shined a light. When He shined a light, folks said, "Preacher Mike, God let me know if I didn't surrender then, that's my last chance." Hey, that was your intersection, buddy. That was your road. That was your place. Now listen, I'm telling you tonight, I'm not mad at you. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings and I'm not trying to embarrass you. But just as much as my name's what it is, there's somebody sitting in this building tonight and God has given you a divine intersection. He's been pricking your heart. He's been dealing with you. And you've tried to push this thing off and fight this thing off. But it is a painful intersection. And then finally, it was a powerful intersection. It changed his whole life. From that intersection forward, he was never the same again. As a matter of fact, God changed his name. His name, Saul, means destroyer. God changed his name to Paul. And that means a little worker. That speaks volumes all by itself. And I've seen folks in this building, God's changed your name. I've seen folks sit in this building in misery. You're soiled up, blowed up like a bullfrog. And you look like some kind of sad sack, gloom, despair, and agony on me. And God saved your soul and you ain't quit grinning sin. God changed your countenance. God changed some things about you. He changed His name. He went from persecuting Jesus to preaching Jesus. He went from persecuting the church to loving the church. And the Word of God said that he was blinded. And then when he went to Ananias' house, and Ananias prayed for him, the Word of God says, as it were scales fell from his eyes, and he gained sight. When you get born again, you get so changed. You get spiritual eyeballs to see things with you ain't never seen before. I've seen folks in the last few months, you get saved by the grace of God, and first thing you know, you're slipping around saying, "Preacher, there's somebody real dear to me. Since God's opened up my eyes, I'm seeing them in a different light than I used to see them. Preacher, I don't mean to be a Pharisee. Preacher, you help me pray because they're lost. God will open up your eyes and let you see things you ain't never seen before. God will give you spiritual insight, and you may not have an abundance of wisdom, and you may not have an abundance of discernment, but when you get born of the Spirit of God, your eyes get opened up and you begin to see things you ain't never seen before. This book will take on a new color to you. It'll mean things you ain't never meant before. Preacher Michael, go to preaching, and the words I say won't just be words anymore. They'll take life, and they'll come alive in your heart and cause the Holy Ghost of God to do double backflips in your soul. It's cause you're alive when you used to be dead, and He can see where you used to be blind. God's given somebody intersection. Oh, I know that. I know that. But please, tonight, I want you to listen to me, and I want you to hear me. I love you with all of my heart, but I don't love you anything like Jesus loves you. He cares about you. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about who you are and where you've been. And tonight, I don't care if you've made 10,000 professions. I don't care if you've been in this altar a dozen times and been baptized till every tadpole in the creek knows you on a first name basis. If you ain't never experienced the new birth where God changed you and let you know there's something different in your life, you need to be born again. Is tonight your night? Is this your intersection? Is God been pricking? Hey, you know. Folks ain't stupid. Folks stand up and God's not so weak. He can be pricking your heart and dealing with you in conviction and you not know it. Ain't that right? Hey, I'm looking at smiles all over this room of folks that you knew for a week or 2 weeks or a month or 6 months. You knew God was bothering you. Boy, I like it when somebody gets saved and they jump up and say, "Preacher Mike, God's been bothering me for a while." That's one of the first things I ask a new convert. One of the first things, is this brand new to you or has this been going on for a while? Hey, God don't need us to plan out His calendar of events. God knows how to get us in it. God may be planting seeds tonight. God may be plowing down the middle of your pea patch tonight. But I believe with all my heart God's given somebody an intersection tonight. You say, "Preacher Mike, I'd be embarrassed or I'd embarrass you and I don't want to hurt your feelings and I don't want to hurt somebody in the church's feelings." Why don't you junk all that? If God's trying to give you an escape route, if God's trying to give you a way out of hell, why don't you wise up and take it?